Yes, and welcome to the Joseph Richards Show. I am your host, Joseph Patrick Richards, coming to you as usual from Arlington, Virginia, our nation's suburb. So here we are in episode 8, and I hope that you appreciated the new theme song. I worked on it for a very, very long time. I was going to record this episode dressed up. I was wearing a tie. I was wearing a dress shirt in that order. Tie was under the dress shirt, so no one could see it, but it made me feel confident. So I had that. I had dress pants on, nice socks, nice shoes, underwear to speak of, red underwear. I had to download something on my computer, and in the time it took to download, I slowly stripped while playing Wii Sports. And that sounds worse. That sounds worse than it actually is. Tamara is shaking her head disapprovingly, as always. I actually think that's just her way of being. But, okay, anyway, so whatever. So I did that, but I'm still in the pants, the underwear under the pants, inside the pants, if you will. The dress socks, and I have a white t-shirt on. So that should help get things going. So in the last episode, I talked about, who remembers? Oh, right, vasectomy. Yes, I had a vasectomy a year ago, and I wanted to go in and find out if there was anything that's come up again. Are there any more sperm still in there? So 3 months after getting the vasectomy, I went and got checked out. They said there was no sperm in my semen. They're all just being reabsorbed, which is nice. Nice recycling program in my body. So, but whatever. So it's time, and I wanted to get checked again just to be sure. And so I went. Hello, I told them this, the people at the company, the medical company, and they handed me a cup, a biohazard cup. Yes, that's right. Because it made me feel very important. You know, my semen is a biohazard. That's a really big deal and really impressive. So, I have Chernobyl in my crotch. I'm sorry, that was a little crass, in my junk. So they gave me that, the biohazard containment unit, basically like the trap from Ghostbusters, but in a cup, as a cup. And then they gave me a sheet of paper, which I have in front of me, the instructions for the semen analysis. So let's go. Let's see. Let's have at this together. Bear with me. Oh, wait. I noticed that this form was last updated January 3rd, 2001. And for those of you who don't know, that was about 10 years ago. So let's see. An integral part of the infertility evaluation of a couple is the examination of the male's semen, or what is commonly referred to as a sperm count. Okay, so here's where they've got me right off the bat. So an integral part of the infertility evaluation of a couple. So this is a very pessimistic form. So they're assuming that the reason I want to do this is because as a partnered up person, we are having fertility problems, which is very funny, very depressing way to start this. So that's good. Commonly referred to as a sperm count. This term is somewhat inaccurate, as sperm count implies a vampire made of semen. I am a sperm count. It doesn't actually say that. This term is somewhat inaccurate, as the semen analysis involves more than just counting the number of sperm, which is very funny, because I like to think of a person whose job it would be. I know they probably count them under a microscope, but I like to think of a person sitting there with very thick glasses, having to count each one of the sperms one by one, each one of the sperm in a petri dish or whatever, a biohazard containment unit, just wearing a huge Doc Brown with the plutonium radiation suit, and counting the sperm, and the sperm, you know, sort of having fun with it and hiding behind one another and saying, "Oh, you missed me. You didn't count me." And then dying quickly. So a semen analysis is an, we're reading again, a semen analysis is an accurate measurement of the number of sperm, their motility, and their shape. And I don't, they didn't tell me the shape of mine, but I hope they're ovoid. I definitely like to avoid having any of them in my semen. So the information gained from this examination is one of the most important tests in the evaluation of the male partner. The information gained from this examination is one of the most important tests in the evaluation of the male partner. So we've gone from infertility evaluation to this test is one of the most important for evaluating you, dude, as a person. This, the male partner, I guess the male partner, a male partner would be potentially more accurate, you know, if you're two or three men or five men or whatever, the evaluation of the male partner. So this test is, this is a man test. It's a man test. So let's see what happens. Due to the complex nature of this test, testing must be scheduled by appointment to allow us to accommodate the needs of all of our members. And I hope they mean members and not members. Please contact the laboratory where you would like to have the test performed to determine if an appointment is available, because obviously this is a big deal. And then they have three locations with separate and corresponding phone numbers. Patient instructions for collection of a specimen. Refrain. What, so are these instructions for being patient during the collection of a specimen or potentially for the patient? Okay, well, either way, let's go. Number one, refrain from any sexual activity, including masturbation, for at least 2 days, but not more than 5 days. I would love to know what happens if I refrain from sexual activity. And I know, whatever, I know there's a logical response to this. Shut up. This is funnier this way. Trust me, it's not. So I would love to know what happens if I wait for more than 5 days and go in. Excuse me, sir. What do you think you're trying to pull? Well, I mean, I pulled my member to help out with the sperm count, semen count, syrup analysis thing. No need to be smart here, sir. When was the last time you masturbated? Oh, what year is this? This is 2011. It is April 28th. It's a Thursday. And it's the evening. Okay, let's see. So the last time I masturbated was actually September 5th of 1987. Since then, I've got a promise ring. I promised to be celibate from myself, for myself, until the fleshlight is cheaper. So would they kick me out? I don't know. I think I got in right in the right amount of time. You know, it's a very interesting that this I wanted to make a joke about this being spunky, the people who wrote this being spunky, but I couldn't think of any way to fit it in, so I'll just throw it in an inappropriate place. Number two, the semen specimen should be collected by masturbation. Not by nocturnal emission, I would imagine. Not by accidentally ejaculating. I guess not by intercourse. Here we go. Alternate methods should be discussed with your physician. Do not collect the specimen in a condom unless a special condom was supplied by the clinical area, as these contain spermicidal agents which will alter the results of the analysis. Hello, yes. I'm looking to hire a spermicidal agent. My sperm, I think, is stepping out on me, and I really need you to track me down. Well, thank you. You've come to the right place. We are the spermicidal agents. No one gets past us. We have several barrier methods to stop your client from fleeing the country. I'll let you get that one. Fleeing the country, escaping the scene. I take that as far as I could go. Oh, God. Still number two. Labeled a specimen with name, date, and time of collection. And so I don't know if this was wrong of me, but when I labeled mine, I wrote the name Michael on it because that is what I wanted to call it. Maybe they were asking for my name. Number three, the specimen should be collected in a container provided by the laboratory, then placed inside the plastic bag provided. So, fortunately, someone walked in on me because I was just going to use that Coca-Cola bottle that I had just gotten. Number four, to ensure accurate results, deliver the specimen to the laboratory within 1 hour after collection. Do not expose the specimen to extremely cold temperatures. So, don't take the specimen into a freezer and just sit there with it, contemplating your decision for more than an hour. Keep near the body until transported to the laboratory. A private room at the clinic may be scheduled for collection of the specimen at some locations. If you are unable to deliver the specimen to the laboratory within 1 hour, hell yes, I was going to take that. It's been my dream. I've seen on TV what it's like to go into the sperm collecting area. I just watched Coupling, the British version recently, and Steve has to go in and get a sperm analysis thing, and he goes into the room, and Patrick and the other guy, Jeff, they bring in magazines, and it's awesome. Because I mean, the place has magazines already, but they bring him his favorite. So I wanted that. I wanted that experience. Number five. So for damn sure, I'm going to take it. Number five. Please complete the form below and bring to the lab with your specimen. The form below includes a space for name, spouse's name, member name, which is Frederick. That's what I call my member. Date, phone number, physician, and then four more questions. What time was the specimen collected? About bedtime. Number two, was any of the specimen lost or spilled during collection? In all caps, this is very important, and then I can check yes or no, or I wrote a little column here that said, well, some of it was lost, but we found it, so I don't know if this matters. It showed up later. Number three, I abstained, in parentheses, did not ejaculate, close parentheses, for blank days before producing the sample. And number four, three lines for comments. So, that's fine. That was pretty boring. So I call them and I'm like, hey, yeah, I need to schedule an appointment and for a semen analysis. They're like, wait, is this a post-VAS checkup? Yes. Well, you don't need an appointment. Just come in. So I went in one morning. I told my office that I had to go to the doctor, which, whatever, that was fine. I drive to Fairfax, Virginia, and go into the room very excited. I go up, and the woman at the counter seems very scared. She's whispering, and she, are you sure this is a post-VAT? That doesn't sound like a whisper. That sounds like she's dying. But if I whisper, you probably won't be able to hear me. So this is a post-VAT. So whispering, so I know I'm supposed to feel very ashamed here, but I don't. I just want to see this room. I really want to know what's in the room, and I want to see videos, and I want to see magazines and just loads and loads of pornography sitting there waiting to help me. I want to see this. I don't necessarily want to use all of it or even any of it, but I just want it to be there. I want it to be available and accessible. So anyway, she gives me a bag. I forgot to take my cup with me, so she gives me one, puts it in a bag, and then takes me upstairs. To the room. Here we go. We're going up to the second floor. We walk down the hall. It looks like some offices. Okay, people in here. And she leads me to just A bathroom. It's a bathroom with a shower, to be sure, which is good because I, you know, based on my past, I would feel incredibly guilty afterward and I would need to take a shower and sort of rinse off the shame of masturbation, which takes a while. So I need to rinse that off, I'm sure. But then I'm in there and I'm thinking, what is happening? Why? Where is this stuff? Okay, well, here's some cabinets, so they probably want to keep it in. Open one cabinet, nothing. Open cabinet number two, there are four cabinets, so just bear with me. Cabinet number one, nothing. Cabinet number two, nothing. Cabinet number three, like some fucking terry cloth robe and slippers. What? Unless, I don't know, that's not going to be helpful. Unless I feel like I need to get in the mood, be like very comfortable, like, oh, I just got out of the shower, that's when I normally masturbate, so this should come easy. Oh, into a cup, fine. This is part of my routine. And then who knows what the fourth cabinet had. It did not have magazines, it did not have videos. Even if it had videos, there was no place to play them anyway. So it's just me in a sink. All right, so let's go to it. So, you know, things happened. I did what I needed to do. None lost or spilled. Very proud of that. Thought I had a pretty good amount. You know, not like gross, but not like wimpy. I don't have any semen amount. So, I mean, it's very hard to get that right amount in there where people who you will never see again in your life recognize you as masculine and evaluate you as the male in the relationship. So, so I did that and I packed it back in my little brown lunch bag, took it downstairs. It was very hard for me not to grin the entire time taking it downstairs and handing it over. You didn't just see me reach to mime that, but I did, handing it over and leaving. And it was kind of nice to know that I basically called into work, told my office I would be late so I could go masturbate in a bathroom. So it was just like masturbating at my mom's house. Because there's just the bathroom and there's activity going on all around you. You're nervous that someone's going to walk in at any moment. And then this was this, there were people doing filing, probably doing insurance claims. And all this just right outside. I could hear them. And I'm sure they know why people go to that bathroom and they saw me and it was, very, very interesting. So, obviously, by my telling of the story. So let's take some questions. Let's see, Tamara, what questions do we have this week? Elizabeth asks, episode 8, I've only heard the first two. Where can I hear the other ones? Elizabeth, good question. As always, you can hear the episodes at Joseph Patrick. No, what is it? God, wrong. You can hear them at thejosephrichardsshow.podbean.com. Well, let's see. While we're here, why don't we live check the... Let's see if we have any emails. Just going to go here to the old email account. I feel like I should have some music or something as I'm going into the email account, but I don't, so I'll just keep talking. So let's see. So Facebook is a weird thing, right? I think it's pretty crazy. A lot of people use it. A lot of people don't use it. Probably about 50-50, I would say, if I had to put a hard number on it. The username, my email, thejosephrichardsshow@gmail.com. You can always feel free to email me there. I put in the wrong password. The password is not banana. Let's see, what have I got? Discover more on Twitter. Joseph Patrick, join these four groups we recommended just for you. Thank you, LinkedIn. But there are no questions here, actually, so I'm going to sign out of Gmail. Let's see if we have anything on Facebook. One of my friends, one thesis fully defended. That's really nice. This has got to be exciting. Another friend, done with classes. Oh, this is all people. Oh, okay. So the Joseph Richards Show. Let's see. Okay, comments. Episode 8, I've only heard 1 and 2. Where are they? Okay, we just told you about that. No questions. Let's see what's happening in... I don't know. In The Newcomer's Guide to Georgia by Don O'Brien. So let's see what Don O'Brien has to say. Consider these statistics. 41 of the largest 1,000 companies listed in Fortune magazine have headquarters in Georgia, including Coke, Delta, CNN, Turner Broadcasting, Equifax, The Home Depot, Aflac, Internet Security Systems, Chiba Vision, or is it Ciba Vision? Intercontinental Hotels and Resorts, Earthlink, and UPS. Oh, here we go. Well, that's all fascinating. And for you business types, because I know a lot of you listen to the show because you're hoping that I will dispense some of my my famous business tips, which actually I have one tonight I can dispense to you. So famous business tip, you should definitely buy and sell in a way that will help you. So here's something else. The state leads the world. This is Georgia. This is what you learn in The Newcomer's Guide to Georgia by Don O'Brien, which we are mentioning tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about Don O'Brien real quick. He or she is a former book editor and reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Among his or her 7 books are Looking for Tara, The Gone with the Wind Guide to Atlanta, Travel Smart: Georgia, and Backroad Buffets and Country Cafes, A Southern Guide to Meat and Threes and Down-Home Cooking. He lives in Lowellburn, Georgia. Excellent. Okay, so let's see. Okay, here we go. The state, this is Georgia, as we learned in The Newcomer's Guide to Georgia by Don O'Brien, the state leads the world in the production of carpet. That can't be true. How can Georgia lead the world in the production, even over Turkey? Turkish rugs, that's a thing, right? That doesn't make sense. All right, anyway, production of carpet, kaolin, which is processed chalk. My stepdad actually worked at a chalk mine for quite a while, and I remember learning about kaolin a lot in school. Maybe one day we'll talk about kaolin on the show besides this. Okay, so the state leads the world in production of carpet, kaolin. So carpet, processed chalk, chickens. The state leads the world in the production of chickens, which is a very popular play in Georgia. It's a huge production every year. There are chickens from miles around coming to audition, and I mean it really piques everyone's interest, and something about pecs and crow's feet or who cares, and watermelon. So in the entire world, no other place in the world produces more carpet, kaolin, chickens, or watermelon than Georgia. Georgia is the 11th largest exporting state in the country. So you're welcome. Let's see what else we have in here. Boating rules and fees. That's boring. Who cares? Hunting and fishing licenses, stupid, unless you like that, then it's awesome. There's something about coaches. Timber, here we go. Timber industry is something. aerospace and transportation. Atlanta not only has one of the busiest airports on the planet, it will be home to the world's largest airline once all the legal documents have been... That's stupid. This guy is a shill. Don O'Brien is a corporate shill. It's all he talks about. CDC is based in Atlanta. That's nice. Retail. There's some things. We have stores. Hollywood goes south, or as we like to call it, Hollywood goes south. I don't know why we changed it into a question. We're like that. Let's read about this. Movies not only boost the economy of the location where they're shot, they also create longer-lasting benefits. Deliverance, shot on the Chattooga River in Rabun County. Are you kidding me? Deliverance was filmed in Georgia? Georgia, you assholes. Deliverance, shot on the Chattooga River in Rabun County, sparked a huge interest in whitewater canoeing and tourism in the North Georgia Mountains. So wait a minute. So the film Deliverance sparked a huge interest in whitewater canoeing while banjos are playing, I guess, and tourism. Deliverance sparked an interest, a boom in tourism for the North Georgia Mountains. This is insane. I got to keep going. The film Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, about murder, along with the best-selling book by whatever, increased tourism in Savannah. Okay, so we got murder and crazy shit storm happening. Fried Green Tomatoes, also about murder and domestic violence, turned the tiny town of Juliet, which, by the way, is where my meemaw is from, tiny town of Juliet into a major destination for tourists who wanted to sample the vegetarian delicacy at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Are fried green tomatoes a vegetarian delicacy? You let me know, you vegetarians out there. The jobs the movie and TV companies create while they're shooting on location are another positive side effect. Not all the films made in Georgia have been award winners, and not all have portrayed the state in a favorable light. Okay, here we go. Deliverance angered some of the mountain people. Some of the mountain people of Rabun County. Deliverance angered some of the mountain people of Rabun County because it presented them as ignorant and inbred, not to mention perverted. Oh, right. The 1932 film, I Am a Fugitive from a Chain Gang, created a national outcry that resulted in prison reform legislation in Georgia. Smokey and the Bandit and several other Burt Reynolds movies did little to improve the state's image in the eyes of the rest of the country. On the other hand, Georgia can be proud of Driving Miss Daisy, the Academy Award-winning film about an Atlanta Jewish woman and her black chauffeur. We can be proud of Glory, the Civil War film starring Denzel Washington, and Daughters of the Dust, the story of an African-American Gullah community on the Sea Islands in 1902. I really hope I pronounced that correct. If not, I'm very sorry. Tourism is our second largest industry, right behind Sitting on a Porch. So there you have it. This is the Joseph Richard Show, episode 8. Thank you. Goodbye.